Hello and welcome to episode 271 of the Casual Tryhard Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm James.
And this week we are going to go over limited archetypes and signposts uncommons for each of the limited archetypes.
Yeah, it's that season again. This Never spoiler stops. Season is, yeah. Maybe that's why this spoiler season's so weird. I can fit more spoilers in. For some reason, this entire normal set release spoiled in a week. So here you go.
Crazy.
Yep.
So we got our
limited review this week. We can start talking about cards next week since we got the whole set review. Maybe we can get our set review done before pre-release.
Yeah, maybe.
That'd be weird.
Would be really weird.
Yeah. So if there's any cards that you guys want us to talk about, hit us up. Where can they hit us up about the cards that they wish for us to talk about?
Well, yeah, on all the internet places, Facebook, Discord, the artist formerly known as Twitter, email, all those links are in the description. So click on them, come say hey.
Yeah, I'll be compiling a list of cards I think are interesting and cards Brian thinks are interesting. And if there's cards you think are interesting, let us know so we can talk about them.
Yeah.
If you guys are looking to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do that, as usual. The first is with our TCG Player affiliate link, casualtryhard.com/TCG. Surf on over there, do whatever shopping you're going to do, and know that you're supporting the show at the same time. Doesn't cost you guys anything extra, and really helps us out. If you want to support us more directly, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg is where you can do that. You can sign up, chip a couple bucks in, however much you feel like we're worth. And in return, you'll get access to our show notes, so you get a sneak peek about what the upcoming week's episode's going to be about. And you also get access to our pre-show, but about another hour-ish of content out of us. Sometimes it's Magic-related. Most of the time, it's not Magic-related. It's just
stuff.
Two buddies hanging out, talking about video games and life and what have you.
Yeah.
If any of that sounds good, or if you just really like the sound of you can't get enough, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg and chip a couple bucks in, you get to listen to more of us.
Yes. All right. So
did you have any idea, anywhere in the marketing for this set, that it was the 100th Magic expansion?
No. I feel like that'd be something that you would lead with.
Yep.
And maybe not do a spaghetti western.
Right.
it feels like the 100th expansion should have been a Dominaria.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is that an expansion? I guess everything's an expansion now that there's no core set, but.
Yeah, but Dominaria United kind of back to Magic's roots kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, was it the 30th anniversary was when we got the first Dominaria set?
Yeah, I think so.
And, they were, couldn't hear enough 30th anniversary stuff, right?
I wonder if that fact is true. Because that doesn't seem to make sense now that I'm thinking about it. The article that I pulled the archetypes out of said it was the 100th expansion, but that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that seems, we're going to look. Magic Wiki says it's the 100th expansion.
Yeah, Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Yeah.
From thegamer.com.
They did a bad job letting anyone know.
Here's a post from a year ago on Reddit. What do you think Magic's 100th expansion will be about? Probably Kaladesh 2.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. Will the 100th expansion be anything specifically special?
No.
Nope.
It will not.
Yep. So, yeah. Magic's 100th expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely should have done something to celebrate that. Instead of the nothing that they did?
Yeah, the absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But whatever.
So, out of that fun fact, we've got our normal 10 limited archetypes. This mm-hmm. set kind of has, like, it's not fully multicolor, but it's got a lot of multicolored cards.
It does, and I was going to save it for the end, so that's the way my card file is arranged, but if you want to talk about fixing...
Oh, no, we can wait till the end, but I was just going to say that, like,
okay,
you pointed out that as opposed to the one signpost uncommon mm-hmm. for each color pair, there's two.
Yeah, like, we have been getting a lot of uncommon legends recently, and I think that we've been getting them per pair also, but they're not always, like, on brand. Like, you'll have a signpost for what the limited archetype's going to be, and then, like, your uncommon legend could do basically anything. But I went through this card file real quick, and it seems like all 10 of the uncommon, like, dual-colored legends are on brand for what the limited archetype's going to mm-hmm. do. Which means that we, like, actually do have two signposts, like, per color pair. And I'm wondering if this has something to do with play boosters. Because they, like, up the number of uncommons, rares, and mythics, right? So if we have extra uncommon slots, maybe this is, like, one of the changes that they made for limited.
Yeah. Where it just kind of makes the archetype a little bit more defined.
Yeah. A little bit deeper.
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be. It could be the play booster thing. I mean, it could be that this set is, like, weirdly full of, like, legends, but mm-hmm. doesn't have the, like, original Dominaria or...
Legends Matter.
Legends Matter theme. We just don't have that. Yeah. But there are, like, a ton of legends in this set.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in the pre-show about how it's, like, they just threw a whole bunch of characters in a cowboy hat and everybody's playing a role in a movie.
Yeah. But what's weird is, like, you know, we know that PDH is a thing, mm-hmm. but, like, they don't require the uncommon creature to be a legend because, well, there weren't any for a huge part of time. So, like, I guess this gives commander players who want to, like, be like, you have to have
budget option.
Yeah, you have to have an uncommon commander because, like, in terms of, like, commander proper, like, most of these cards don't hold a candle to, like,
right,
commander precon legends or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even, like, base set legends or Modern Horizons legends.
Yeah, like, base set mythic versus base set uncommon. Like, the mythic's going to be more powerful. And often, like, you know, if the black-white archetype is Sack or Aristocrats, mm-hmm. the black-white mythic oftentimes will do that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, well, am I going to play the, like, uncommon one or the mythic one that has, like, three paragraphs on it?
Yeah.
I'll play the novel. Thank you.
Yep.
So it is, I guess I don't know who all the legends are for. Like, and I understand there's, like, an element of fan service and, you know, every person has their favorite legendary character from Magic.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, like, they had, like, Honest Rustine, a character that seemed to be first introduced, like, 2 years ago. And, like,
right,
were people clamoring for, like, Rustine in a cowboy hat?
Yeah.
Like, so, like, some of it, I understand, like, oh, this is, like, a cool thing. But then a lot of them are just almost like, here's this legend from this set that you have no attachment to. Enjoy.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't even raise to the level of fan service.
Yeah, I don't... Other than Rusty, I don't think any of them... Oh, and Lazav. Oh, and I guess Karoom also.
Yeah, there's, like...
There's three of them that are like, Malcolm, making a reappearance.
Malcolm the Eyes, because Malcolm was the 2-1 flyer.
And Vile Smasher. Well, Malcolm's not an uncommon, though.
I'm sorry, yeah, he's a rare, sorry.
Yeah, I was just looking at the uncommons.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, I guess some of them we've seen before. Because Vile Smasher is an uncommon.
But, like, it doesn't feel like they're, like, these beloved characters that, like, people are going to be super hyped to see back again. Like, I don't know, maybe...
Earth of Joe? Nobody was claiming for an Earth of Joe card?
No. I mean, maybe there's, like, some, like, weird Vile Smasher subreddit that I don't need to ever be on. But I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to go through the kind of the two cards that like drive us for each limited archetype.
Yeah.
And see what the archetypes are supposed to do. So what's blue-white doing?
So blue-white, the archetype is either not casting a spell or plot. They kind of play into each other because if you plot, you're not going to cast your spell.
From your hand.
And you're not going to cast it like that turn.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So you're basically foregoing casting a spell that turn. You're activating an ability instead. And we kind of talked in the pre-show a little bit about, like how this might play in limited. That, you know, this is definitely a mechanic that is slow. And mm-hmm. lately we have not had slow limited environments. So this might not be ideal. But with some of these, like, the payoff might be worth a reasonable portion of a card.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can string a couple of those together, like maybe you're not as punished for not playing a card on your turn. And I think that's what this is trying to do. So the signpost for the blue-white archetype, not casting spells. Man, they're really leaning into that with this set, right? Playing Magic's a crime, and here you're getting rewarded for not casting spells.
Not casting spells from
your
hand.
They just don't want people to play Magic.
No. They just want people to buy fancy versions of cards and give them wild cards.
See, that makes sense because they don't actually make money when people play their game. They only make money when people buy their game.
Exactly.
I see.
So if we can incentivize people to not play the game through the rules.
Right. All they have left is to buy the cards.
That's it. That's all we have left.
So the signpost here is Wrangler of the Damned. 3 blue-white for a 1/4 human soldier with flash. And beginning of your end step, if you haven't cast a spell from your hand this turn, make a 2/2 white spirit creature token with flying. So it makes a wind drake if you mm-hmm. haven't cast a spell.
Yeah.
Which is a reasonable portion of a magic card.
It is. So, like, what we talked about in the pre-show and you brought up is the gains were, like, let's say, turn 4, you plot something.
Mm-hmm.
Turn 5, you play Wrangler of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
Wrangler of the Damned does not trigger.
Right.
Because you cast Wrangler.
Right.
Now, you can cast your plot spell and get, like, no value. Now, like, turn 6, you cast the spell you plotted on 4, and then plot another spell.
Yeah.
And then that gets you
your Windrake.
Your Windrake. Or, like, you have a bunch of instants in your deck, and mm-hmm. you're able to cast instants on your opponent's
deck. Oh, like, this is at instant speed.
Oh, it is a flash. Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, like, end of their turn. Flash it in. Okay. But I just worry that, like, the slow mechanics don't get pushed.
Don't stand a chance.
You don't stand a chance, and they don't, it's not like they get pushed out by, like, a more aggressive archetype. Right. It's more that just, like,
you're playing off tempo the whole game.
Yeah. Or just, like, the 1/2/3 turn, like, you can't take turn 4 to be, like, or turn 3 to be like, I'm going to do nothing that impacts the board.
Yeah.
Your go. Right? Like, you just are too far behind that, like, by the time Wrangler pays you off, it's turn 6.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of, like, the recent limited archetypes, a lot of them have been, like, done on, like, turn, like, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, that's, like, when games end. So, like, if you're 2/3 of the way through the game before you get paid off, like, then you're in a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love it if this was a slower format.
Well, I mean, it might be. There are certainly some parallels to draw between this set and Kaldheim. Mm-hmm. The mechanics, I think, are similar. We'll talk about some other stuff later on. There's definitely going to be a five-color archetype, and there was mm-hmm. a five-color archetype in Kaldheim. So, I mean, Kaldheim wasn't a super fast format.
Yeah, it did have the, like, what is it, stupid, like, 1-2, like, flying first strike, like, the red-white, like, just, like, whatever that, like, equipment was, when you blocked, you still get damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did not like that card.
Yeah.
So what's the other blue-white card?
Yeah, the other one here is Gem Lightfoot Sky Explorer. It's a 2-white-blue for a 3/3 human scout with flying and vigilance. And at the beginning of your end step, if you haven't cast a spell from your hand this turn, draw a card.
Yeah.
This thing seems pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, it will, like, snowball if given the chance.
Well, I mean, even if you don't, like, if you just look at this without the, like, on-theme ability or whatever, mm-hmm. a 3/3 flying vigilance for 4 is a pretty good rate.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe the situation where you, like, plot on 3, play this,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, turn 5, you either, like, play the card that you plotted, or, mm-hmm. like, pass and then flash in your Wrangler of the Damned. Like, get your yep. card draw, and then, like, still have your plot card back if need be. Like, mm-hmm. that could work, and it would, like, kind of fuel itself.
Yeah, and there's nothing saying you can't play the game at instant speed either. I know we mentioned that that Wrangler there had flash, so you can play mm-hmm. on your opponent's turn, but, like, blue-white is typically...
has flashy, you know, stuff.
A control-y color pair, or you're playing a little bit more at instant speed than you would be in, like, red-green or whatever.
I mean, we have Holy Cow, the mm-hmm. 3-mana 2/2 flyer that has yep. flash.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's, like, yeah, there's a reasonable amount of, like, instant-looking stuff here. So maybe you yeah. just, like, so, load up on instants.
Yeah, maybe the archetype being defined as no spells cast is kind of a red herring, where your archetype is actually, like, blue-white flash or
yeah, blue-white flash, yeah, where you're yeah. not actually... you're doing the thing, but you're not doing the thing the way it was kind of intended.
Right.
Or the way it's written on the card.
Right. All right. Throwing you for a curveball.
Yeah, so now we have blue-black, which is crime control, which we need a bunch of RoboCops or something.
RoboCop wants an Oreo.
Yeah. So we have Intimidation Campaign. Is 1 blue-black for an enchantment, and this is kind of this set's disinformation campaign.
Very similar.
So when it enters the battlefield, each opponent loses a life, you gain a life, and you draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you commit a crime, you may return Intimidation Command to its Intimidation Campaign to its owner's hand. So we're like, disinformation campaign got to the point where, like, made your opponent discard a card.
Yeah.
And, like, got to the point where... your opponent just was on, like, no resources.
Mm-hmm.
This, at least, is a win condition.
Right.
Right? Like, it lets you, like, win the game if you cast it enough times, which Disinformation Campaign did not.
Right.
Like, the game just became miserable, and, like, the opponent had no way to kill you.
Yeah, I think Disinformation Campaign was more punishing, though, than this is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With the discarding a card, like, it was a...
yeah.
It was a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Where this is...
like a 1.5-for-1.
Yeah, if that, right? I mean, it replaces itself. Yeah, probably
not even that. Yeah.
And the like, change in life total is not a huge deal.
Right.
But, like, this wants you to commit crimes. Blue-black wants you to target your opponent's stuff, presumably with removal spells.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to be... like, just thinking about how those games are going to play out, that's going to be a controlling archetype, though. You're targeting your opponent's creatures to kill them or lock them down, or what you're doing, you're targeting your opponent with discard or whatever you're doing to your mm-hmm. opponent, but committing all the crimes.
Yeah.
Is it awkward that this doesn't commit a crime by itself? Although I guess it would trigger itself.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't work.
Yeah, it would trigger, you would just play it and like put it back in your hand.
Yeah. So this is a payoff, not an enabler.
Exactly. I mean, it would be awkward, like it would kind of be nice if it could like, you know, do the thing, but yeah. It would be too good.
Yeah. So then, the second one here is Lazav, Familiar Stranger.
Yeah.
One blue black for a 1/4 shapeshifter. Whenever you commit a crime, put a +1/+1 counter on Lazav, Familiar Stranger. Then you may exile a card from a graveyard. If a creature card was exiled this way, you may have Lazav become a copy of that card until end of turn. Only triggers once each turn.
Yeah, like, there's going to be a theme with a lot of these legends,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think you're happy with, like, whenever you commit a crime, put a +1/+1 counter on Lazav.
Right.
And then they were like, and another one. Let's give it another ability. let's do a little bit more. Because, like, I think that either one of these, like, the second ability, very Lazav.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, that could have just been the ability, and it would have been fine.
Yep.
The first ability, fine. Not very Lazav, but like a fine blue-black thing. We've seen similar things before.
Yeah.
But the fact that they just like smushed them together, they're just like, we want this card to be good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it is as well.
Yep. So moving on to, oh, do you have something else?
I was gonna say, like, just like, you know, 1/4 that you then thought sees them, or, you know, whatever, discard spell or kill a creature, and it's a 2/5 now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's great for 3 mana.
Absolutely. And, you know, we mentioned white and blue were going to be a controlling color. Obviously, if you're incentivized to target your opponent's things and your opponent, that's also going to be a more mm-hmm. controlling, interactive archetype. And I know I made the comment with the last card, the Intimidation Campaign, that it didn't enable itself. But I think we made the joke last week when we talked about the mechanics that kind of playing the game enables the mechanics. So you probably don't need to like have enablers. Just playing the game is going to enable it.
Yeah, you don't need to do a ton.
Yeah. So the next color pair is red-black, and the mm-hmm. theme is outlaws.
So outlaws, again, were assassins. Mercenaries, mm-hmm. warlocks, and now I'm done.
The other people with the hat?
The other people, I don't think it's just only hat people.
Pirates?
Are pirates outlaws?
Yep.
Okay. See here.
And rogues. Have, it's on the card.
Oh, and mercenaries. Did we say mercenaries? Okay, maybe we said mercenaries.
I think we said mercenaries.
Yeah. So at knife point, like, what is it? As long as you so gives all your outlaws first strike on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you commit a crime, create a 1/1 red mercenary creature with tap. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Activate mm-hmm. only as a sorcery. And this ability triggers once each turn. So, like, it makes you better at attacking.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a bunch of 1/1s that attack with first strike, or like pump your creatures.
Yep.
Seems fine.
Yeah, I don't know that this card is like super duper powerful, but it does ask an interesting question. So we talked about the mechanics last week, and we talked about mercenaries a little bit, or outlaws. Mercenaries mm-hmm. are a type of outlaw. And we have this 1/1 red mercenary creature token, which is a new token for this set. And they all have this ability, tap, give a creature +1/+0 till end of turn, activate only as a sorcery. Does that give us any hints as to how either this archetype is going to play out or how the format is going to play out? Because on one hand, you're making a bunch of 1/1 red tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, the tokens are incentivized to make something go tall instead of wide.
Yeah.
And like, you're not really getting the option because you have to do it at sorcery. So because you're being incentivized to go tall, does that mean the format's a little bit slower?
It could be. But like, the other thing is, by putting that +1/+0 and giving it first strike, there's now a lot of attacks you get in.
Well, I just meant in general. Like, you're not always going to have at knife point, and there's a lot of cards that make mercenaries that aren't like this enchantment. I just meant like that token being in the set in general with that ability. Are there any conclusions from that we can draw?
I'm not sure, because like, the ability, again, does, like, even without at knife point, does take, you know, bounce situations and turn them into like combats you win,
mm-hmm.
or where like you would lose combat. Now you have a trade.
Yeah.
Like, you have a trade plus you have a 1/1 left over. So like, maybe that like allows you to force damage through, but it mm-hmm. could be that like we are in a slower format because you're just trying to make like a big threat, like trade it off with something, and then like, okay, the next thing becomes a big threat, and then they have to like work through that.
So what was it Traveling Missionary was from Midnight Hunt, maybe? It was like a white mana for a 1/1 that did this and gained a life.
Yes.
I don't really remember how that card played in Limited. But, I mean, that's like, this token is basically that card.
It is. Traveling Minister.
Traveling Minister.
Yeah. No, it is. It is that. I mean, that card was fine. Like, sometimes the life gain actually really mattered.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, though, is I think the only time I've ever, like, played that card was when I was interested in the life gain. I didn't really care about the +1/+0 at sorcery speed. Well, the pump being at sorcery speed kind of kills it.
It does. Like, it avoids the whole, like, onboard trick thing.
Yeah.
That we, like, try, that they try to avoid now, but it does make it way worse.
Yeah.
But, like, I definitely, like, had gone, like, Traveling Minister into 2-drop, and then on turn 3, like, pump the 2-drop and get in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's been fine. Yeah, like, I don't know, like, if you get a bunch of these tokens, it then turns the tokens into, like, actual threats that you have to trade off.
Make, like, a 4/1 or something.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't want to trade off my, like, 5-drop for this, but I kind of have to. I can't just, like, get smashed for 4 over and over and over again.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if it tells a whole lot, because, like, it could be that you go, like, super wide. Is there, like, a Trumpet Blast? Like, common?
Sure, there's a Trumpet Blast. I think there's a Trumpet Blast spree spell in Uncommon, isn't there?
I think you're right.
I'm almost positive there is.
Yeah. It's at Common. There's a Trumpet Blast. If you control Exile, yes, if one, the Trumpet Blast also lets you draw Impulse draw a card.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if it tells us anything. I mean, it could be like, you play this, you play like 3 Outlaws, and then you kill them. Just because you've gone wide.
Right.
And then none of your stuff is blockable. What's the other card?
The other card is Vial Smasher. Lethal Grenader? Grenadier? Grenadier. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Sure.
Black red for a 3/2. Goblin Mercenary. Whenever another outlaw enters the battlefield under your control, Vial Smasher deals 1 damage to target opponent.
Very much like... like, this is, like, a weird limited archetype in that, like, I guess I don't know how many outlaws there are in black and red. But, like, could you be in a situation... I'm just scrolling down. I think the answer is no. Like, could you be in a situation where, like, you're black-red, but you don't have the critical mass of...
I don't think so.
Like, I'm looking. There's...
Mercenary, rogue, warlock, all at uncommon, and just in red.
Yeah.
Assassin, warlock, rogue. Warlock, rogue, 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 and black. No, I think you're going to have plenty of outlaws.
Okay. So, like, that's the big thing, right, is there are enough outlaws that, like, I think Vile Smasher, I mean, other than just being, like, a Blood Tithe Harvester's worth of stats,
mm-hmm.
right, I think he has to, like, trigger every turn.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you play him on two, he needs to trigger on, like, turn three, turn four, and turn five.
Well, if you look back at the previous card, like, they feed into each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you play an outlaw, and this deals one damage to a target, which is your opponent. So that's going to trigger your at knife point, which is going to make a mercenary, which is going to trigger Vile Smasher. Now, you're only going to get one mercenary per turn, but...
Yeah. They can't just have a two-card infinite combo in right. limited and uncommon.
At uncommon.
They're like, oh, wait, ooh, no, this is bad. There was a game that ended with, like, at knife point into Vile Smasher into another outlaw, and the game just ended on turn four, and they were like, only once each turn is not added to this card.
That's right.
Yeah, as long, like... It's a, like, the rate's fine.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, like, you can trigger it consistently, it should be a good card.
Yeah. I think there won't be any problems triggering it consistently. It seems like there are an awful lot of outlaws. An awful lot.
Right.
All right. So the next archetype is red-green. It's ferocious. Surprise.
Surprise, we like a big thing. Cannot lie.
Yep. So the signpost here, the first one, is mm-hmm. Cactus Folk Sure Shot. One red-green for a 4/4 with reach. It has ward 2, and at the beginning of combat, on your turn, other control with power 4 or greater, gain trample and haste until end of turn.
It's 2 red-green.
Isn't that what I said?
You said 1 red-green, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 red-green.
Like
4 mana. Way 4 better. Mana, 4/4.
Way better. Way 3 mana. I mean, this card was effectively a rare in Khan's block.
Yep.
With Sarkhan, the 5/4 green Sarkhan.
Yep. This is also, like, somewhere roundabouts in the neighborhood of Spellbreaker, right? That was 1 red-green.
Yeah.
But that gave you either haste or a 4/4.
Mm-hmm.
It was haste. Yeah, it was haste or a 4/4, and it had hexproof on your turn.
Yeah.
And this is ward 2, so it's kind of a hexproof analog. It is a 4/4, and it gives other things haste.
I mean, they had to be big, but... Reckless Stormseeker, I know it's mm-hmm. 3 mana, has really shown the value of, like, thing gets haste.
Yeah.
Right, just how, like, kind of debilitating that can be and how hard it is to play.
Yeah.
So, like, you go, and it gives trample, so you just are like, you play this, and then your 5 drop just smashes them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're, like, again, now they're, like, on the back foot, and they can't really do a whole lot.
Yep.
Yeah, like, this card seems solid, like, and it has, I mean, I don't know, I guess it has, like, a bow or bow-like thing, so, like, the reach is not 100% sneaky reach.
Right.
But it's sneaky-ish reach. And, like...
Cactus Person shouldn't have reach.
Yeah, they're not that high. They're not knocking birds down. But...
Right. And they don't really move that much. They're not very flexible.
Yeah, but, like, the fact that it can, like, help you, like, against, like... you know, blue white, let's say if it is like a Flyers archetype, that you have that, like, in addition to being aggressive, it's also like block.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, yeah, you can block. Neat.
Yep. So what's the backup or the legendary signpost here?
It's Jolene.
Jolene.
Plundering Pugilist. This is one red green. Yes. For a 4/2 human mercenary.
She'll knock your boots off.
And whenever you attack with one or more creatures with power 4 or greater, create a treasure token. And then, again, in the vein of, but wait, there's more. One in the red, sacrifice a treasure. Jolene, Plundering Pugilist, deals 1 damage to any target.
It doesn't seem that great.
No, like, being a 4/2, not amazing. I mean, there are, like, a bunch of ways, like, to get treasures in this set. But, like, 2 mana to deal 1 damage. Not
well, I mean, your treasures are typically more useful as a Lotus Petal, as a Tar Fire.
A bad Tar Fire.
A bad Tar Fire, yeah.
And, like, 4/2 creatures don't really attack profitably. Like, they trade off with 2 drops consistently.
Right. The only thing that this has going for it is it's kind of a cheap way to enable your Ferocious if you...
Mm-hmm.
Like, have something else that's enabling.
Yeah, something like else that cares. 3 mana
for 4/2 is kind of the rate, right?
Yeah, that is like the historic rate for that card.
Yeah.
For that stat line, at least.
Right.
Yeah, like, this is the, we don't have any idea what red-green does. So we're just going to do big aggressive creatures. Yeah, I mean, archetype.
Kind of just always defaults to this.
Yeah. All right, now we have a Selesnya, so white-green, and it's mounts and vehicles.
Sure.
So Congregation Griff is a 1 green-white for a 1/4 Hippogriff mount. It has flying and lifelink, and when Congregation Griff attacks while saddled, it gets +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of mounts you control. And so it has saddle 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it would always get +1/+1 if it's saddled, because it is a mount.
Yep.
I don't know, your attacks with your 3 power creature better be pretty awful if you're tapping it to give your Congregation get Griff +1/+1.
True.
Right now, flying lifelink, like, it may get in a little bit more consistently and you could gain some life, but it's like not super interesting.
Yeah, it's also weird that it cares about the number of mounts you control.
Because,
like, that's not like a flavor win, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, why? Like
your mounts are going to ride mounts.
Or, like, it gets stronger because there's more rideable animals around.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Like, this is like the second or third time I've read this card, and each time I think it's going to say +X/+X, where X is the, like, power of the creature saddling it or something.
Right. That would make more sense.
Right? Because, like, then it's almost like a, the Pegasuses, that, like, when they attack, they like, give something flying. Like, creature gets flying. Like, that would be this, right? Where you're, like, I'm tapping tapping a thing, and its power and toughness are gaining flight on my, like, Congregation Griff. But instead, it's, like, how many horses do you have? I have 2 horses. I am stronger than if you only had 1 horsey.
That's right.
I don't get it. But I
don't get it.
Like, flavor aside, it's okay to, like, medium.
Yeah, solidly medium, I would say.
Going back to the, like, is this going to be aggressive, though? Lazav was a 1/4. The the Wrangler of the Damned was a 1/4. Yep. This is a 1/4.
Is a 1/4. Yeah.
There's a lot of things with a lot of big butts that are going to...
That's true. I didn't notice that.
That could, like, kind of drive us in the direction of, like, can't attack. We're just going to, like, bounce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are, like... And there's, like, 2 4/2s. Like, the Jolene and then, like, this other Drover Grizzly. And, like, 4/2 is, like, not a great stat line. So, like, there could be enough high toughness potential that you can, like, stall out the board.
Yeah.
Just noticing this is the third 1/4.
And this also is a decent way to break up a board stall also.
Yeah, like it just kind of like pokes in for like 2 or 3 each turn.
Yep.
And like you gain some life, so like it kind of like makes up for the creature that was saddling it being out of combat because you gained 2 life.
Yep.
All right, what's so our the other thing?
The legendary uncommon here is Miriam Herd. It's a green white for a 3/2. Mm-hmm. And as long as it's your turn, mounts and vehicles proof. And whenever a mount or vehicle you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on. This seems way better than the Griff.
Yeah, so we got cut off a little bit. So as long as it's your turn, mounts and vehicles you control have hexproof is what got cut off. Sorry, internet.
Yep.
And so, like, putting a counter on it's like a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And like this being like a 3/2 allows you to like that's going to cover a lot of the saddle costs.
Yep.
So that's good. Like it enables that pretty well. It is awkward, like mounts and I guess vehicles, like
just things you can ride.
Things you can ride. Exactly. Yep. Miriam Ride or Die was probably a name that they could have gone with.
Maybe that was a playtest name.
Maybe.
This hexproof thing is interesting too because it doesn't make you feel like it reduces the chance of getting blown out if you saddle up a thing or if you crew your vehicle. I know that was not necessarily a feel bad, but it always felt good to blow up a vehicle before attacks after it had been screwed.
Yeah, because you bought yourself a turn.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and like this encourage is like, okay, it is safe to crew your things on your turn.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about the blowout.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean this does seem way better. Yep. And there are like a reasonable number of creatures that are just like randomly mounts.
Mm.
So
I'm sure they did that on purpose.
Yeah, so like there's enough there that you can that like probably put together a reasonable mount deck, and like I think there's like a couple vehicles that like read as being pretty decent.
Yeah.
Like Mobile Homestead is a 2-mana 3/3 vehicle with crew 2. And it has haste as long as you control a mount.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's decent. And then Luxurious Locomotive is really not that great. It's, like, 5 mana for a 6/5, like, vanilla that, like, makes you a treasure. But, like, I already got the 5 mana.
Right.
I don't need Lotus Petals. I need Trample.
Right.
So there's a couple vehicles that seem like reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly this is going to be for mounts. But like the fact that like you get that like, you know, warm snuggy blanket of nothing bad is going to happen to my congregation griff or whatever.
Right.
Is good. Like cuz especially having to saddle at sorcery speed, you just open yourself up, like, so much more to like blow out. So I understand that like flavorize you like you mount your horse before you ride off into battle.
Yeah.
You don't send your horse into battle and then hop on it later. Like I understand that, but like from a game point of view, like okay, if I block, then they don't tap this creature, but if I don't block, they tap this creature, then maybe I can kill the thing and then I can like get in with an attack because I incentivize them to tap their creature. You like lose that level of strategy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also like you're never going to block with a saddled creature because you have to do it at sorcery speed.
Yeah. Well, no. What I mean is like as the defending player, like do I block this creature because they might be able to saddle it if saddle was an instant speed ability.
Yeah.
And then that like little cat and mouse of like, well, if I don't block, are they going to saddle? And if they saddle, yep, then they are down a blocker and I have a haste creature, so then I can kill them.
Yep.
Like, you know, like, oh, I'll play my second cactus guy, and then the first one will give it haste and trample, and now I can attack.
Yeah.
And win the game, kind of thing. You won't have that. But, like, again, they're trying to avoid onboard tricks as best they can.
Sure.
All right. White, black is Aristocrats, and like these two cards are like really good, like especially this one.
Both of them seem pretty good.
So Ruthless Lawbringer, one white black for a 3/2 vampire assassin, and when it enters the battlefield you may sacrifice another creature. When you do, destroy target non-land permanent. It's basically like a vindicate that you have to feed like one of your trash creatures too.
Right. Some sort of fodder.
Yeah. Like, that's really good.
Yeah, it like is it, really good.
It's, you know, blinkable. Like, I don't know in the card file if there's, like, a when this dies, make, like, a 1/1 kind of creature.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
But, like, you know, those kind of things where, like, you still are left with something at the end of it. You're like, oh, like this works out nicely.
Wanted Griffin, 3 and a white for a 3/2. When Wanted Griffin dies, create a 1/1 red mercenary.
Sure. Okay.
Nizumi Linkbreaker, 1/1 rat warlock for a black. When it dies, make a 1/1 red mercenary creature.
I mean, that's like kind of perfect, right?
Yep.
You like
both of those are at common.
Yeah, you play that into this and kill their like 3-drop.
Yep.
And then you still have your 1/1 left over. You're like, oh, perfect.
Yep.
And like, I don't think there's any like white blink effect, but like this is a reasonable card to
there's blink. One at rare.
Oh, there's one. Oh, yeah. The blink everything a bajillion times card. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you just win the game if you ever cast that. So,
probably.
But, like, this is a good thing to, like, blink in, like, other formats, you know. I think that Brad Saffronalm tweeted what, like, uncommon legend you want to build around.
Yeah.
And he said, this is, like, I know it's not a legend, I don't care. Like, this is the card I want to build around in Commander. This is the
card.
This is it right here. This is all I've ever wanted to do. Yeah. So, yeah, like, this is like the like one of the best black white aristocrat cards. It is oh, what was that card? The black white card that's like sack a permanent, a non land permanent, exile something. It has flashback. Rite of Oblivion.
Yes.
Like this is Rite of Oblivion, but like you already got to flash it back, and it was flashback as a 3/2.
Right.
Right? Like, it's, like, kind of the same card, and Rite of Oblivion, like, sees play from time to time.
Still, yep.
Still, yeah. Now, this is limited to another creature, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing the thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff that makes random tokens. You're kind of bound to have some kind of garbage creature hanging around.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the legendary for white-black is Baron Bertram Greywater. 2 white-black for a 3/4 vampire noble. Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 black vampire rogue creature token with lifelink. This ability only triggers once each turn, and you can play one in a black, sacrifice another creature or artifact to draw.
Like, nutty, right? Just,
yep.
Like, in terms of, like, just, it gives you a body to sacrifice next turn.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, do the thing.
Yep.
You know, like,
whenever you make your mercenary, they bring a friend.
Yeah. And like, it's just going to, like it's a 3/4, it slows down the game, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's got a big enough butt to slow down most things.
Yep.
Yeah. No, this is, I think this card is
let you
really,
sacrifice.
Really good. Speaking of people playing like roles, like this is kind of the like boss hog. The guy who, like, set up the town that, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, is trying to take water from people so they mine faster or something.
Of you course the mean? Law's on my side. I wrote it.
Exactly. Like, this is that guy.
It's that guy.
Exactly. My grandpappy founded this town, and then, like, you know, on from there.
He's a vampire. He probably founded it.
Probably.
He's been alive forever.
Yeah. All right.
Or so, dead forever.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. See, Val.
Next up.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, no, Val.
What you were going to say.
Van Helsing vampires were dead. If you remember that movie.
Yep.
So, all right. So, we've got blue, red, cast two or more spells.
Yep. So, kind of spells matter, kind of storm. But specifically, another spell. So, two spells per turn. And we have a slick sequence here. It's blue and a red for an instant. Deals 2 damage to any target. If you've cast another spell this turn, draw a card. That seems pretty good.
Yeah, so this is basically this your second spell.
Right.
You get to, but it's not limited to your turn. Since it's an instant, like you could like shock something and then slick sequence after.
Yep.
Or whatever one mana red removal spell there is.
Yep, or cantrip and then mm-hmm. shock something, draw another card.
Yeah, like, it takes work, but, like, this, I think this is, like, maybe constructed playable, like, 5 years ago. Probably not now.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, it takes a little bit of work, but, like, the turn three, like, build your own electrolyze.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was probably good enough. Like, I'm going to opt and then cast slick sequence and shock your thing and draw myself a card.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, I think this is like really good and limited.
Mm-hmm. And the uncommon legend we have here is Chrome Violent Cacophony. 2 blue red for a 2/3 flying zombie horror. Mm-hmm. And whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Chrome Violent Cacophony and draw a card.
I mean, very good payoff.
Yeah, very, very good payoff.
Like, it grows and feeds itself.
Yep.
And, like, especially in limited, you really want to find those, like, well, the spree cards don't help. But, like, the one mana cards mm-hmm. where you can, like, cast this on turn 5 and then play, like, a one mana card to get your counter, get your card, right? Make sure you get paid back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But like looking, there aren't a lot of one mana blue cards. There's like, well, all the one mana blue cards have spree. So they're not really one mana.
I think a lot of those cards do have a cheap mode though, where it might not be one mana, but the spree cost might be one, so they'd be 2 mana.
Yeah. Which is fine, like, you know, if you can avoid, like, you ideally want to play this and then immediately get the card back.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if you don't have anything to do on turn 4, you just have to, like, play this and cross your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's, like, a couple one mana, there's, like, a one mana creature you could play, like the owl.
Yep. bunch of stuff with Spree.
Yeah, so like you could probably find, and like there's a one mana 1/2 in red, so like you could probably set this up where you could get that card, maybe not with an instant or sorcery, but with like a cheap creature.
Take the Fall, one mana instant target creature gets -1/-0 to end of turn. Mm-hmm. Gets -4/-0 instead if you control an outlaw and draw. So there's your cantrip.
Mm-hmm. Quick draw as well. Target creature gets +1/+1. And gains first strike. Like you like play this attack and then like pump your thing.
Yep.
No, this seems like this is an archetype that like requires a lot of cheap spells to make work, but like this card is really good.
Yeah. And that kind of archetype. Really good. I mean, if this triggers once, I think you're above rate.
Yeah, like cuz then at that point you paid 4 mana for like a 3/4 that like drew you a card.
And flies.
Oh yeah, and flies. Yeah, geez, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No. Card's solid. Next up, moving on to green black. Surprise, surprise, the archetype is Recursion.
Graveyard Matters. Wow.
Yeah. We have Badlands Revival here. 3 black green for a sorcery. Return up to 1 creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Return up to 1 permanent card from your graveyard to your hand. So this is a little bit better than we normally get for a reanimation spell.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reanimation spell, but it's a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Right, like you like put your biggest creature onto the battlefield, and then like your second best creature goes into your hand.
Yeah,
I mean that's really hard to beat. I mean, there's definitely been formats.
It's permanent, so it's. I mean, it's not just a creature.
I mean, there's been a lot of formats where, like 3 mana, put 2 creatures in your hand, has been like a backbreaking card.
Right.
Right, and this like puts one of them on the battlefield.
Typically, those are like grindy formats, though not aggressive ones like we've had recently. But again, I don't know. Like, I don't think I've seen a whole lot that screamed aggressive at me yet.
Yeah. Like a lot of like I've seen a couple big creatures that are like X2s, so like they get to attack once, and like trade. But there's a lot of like. Like, there's a lot of 3/3s. We've seen a lot of 1/4s.
Yeah.
They're just going to, like, bounce. So, yeah, there could be a chance for this to be slow. And, like, this would be great in a slow format.
Absolutely. Grind your opponent to dust.
Right, like, trade, get a 2-for-1.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, I'm kind of done. Right. Yep. Next up. Honest Rutstein.
Yep. So this is the legendary signpost for green black.
It's 1 green black for a human legendary creature, human warlock. It's a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand, and then creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. This is like, was it Gloom Shrieker from Kamigawa that was like an enchantment?
Yep.
It might have been a 1/2. And you got like a creature or a permanent back. Like, Gravediggers are usually 4 mana. So the fact that we're getting a Gravedigger for 3 is kind of like above curve. And then the fact that they were just like, it's also a ramp spell.
Right.
Is like super weird as well.
It's, what was the ooze? Umori?
Yeah, Umori. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except, like, arguably, I think this is better.
So, like, again, like, if this format is slow and, like, you... This card is good and the other one is good in a format where you go, like, trade, like, block and trade, double block, lose a creature, but trade. Yeah. And then you go, like, play a 2-for-1.
Mm-hmm.
And your opponent has no cards in hand, and you have 2 cards in hand.
Yeah.
And like now, like, you know, the extra ham sandwich that you got can beat your opponent.
Yep.
And so, like, this card in the format is only as good as do I get to like double block and trade.
Right.
If that doesn't happen, then less good.
Yep. Doesn't matter what's left standing. It matters which that player controls there. What.
Yeah. Yeah. You have the extra piece of cardboard. Yep. But like the fact that like even if you don't have a thing to get back, like you could play this on three, not be embarrassed and play a five drop a turn early.
Oh, sure.
Or like,
yeah, I mean, it's not like 3 mana for a 3/2 is that far outside of rate.
Yeah. Or just like you play like 2 3-drops on turn 4.
Yeah.
Because like it's each spell costs 1 less. So if you cast 2 spells, you got 2 extra mana that turn.
Right.
So like that line of text is super powerful in and of itself.
Definitely, as we learned that from Eldrazi's.
Yes. All right. So next up we have mercenaries. Like, where's Lincivi?
Yeah. So the archetype for red white is mercenaries. The first signpost we have is Form a Posse. It's X red white. It's a sorcery. Create X 1/1 red mercenary creature tokens with tap. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 till end of turn. Activate as a sorcery.
Gotcha.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's like X, 2 and X, right? Whatever colors.
Yeah.
And make tokens. Like, those spells usually aren't that great. They're like kind of usually always like below rate.
Yeah.
Right.
And like we were talking with mercenaries earlier, like I'm not quite sure what this card is telling me to do. Mm-hmm. Like, does Form a Posse want me to go wide with a whole bunch of 1/1s? Or does it want me to go tall and make all those 1/1s a pump spell?
Yeah. But I mean, like with this, like the pump spell's on like layaway because they all have summoning sickness.
Right. Yeah,
and they have like the tap signal, so you can't get around it.
Right, and it's a sorcery speed.
Yeah, so yeah, there's no like it's like play all of these things and then hope they don't have the 3 black all creatures get -1/-1.
Yeah,
right. You're just like cross your fingers, and like hope your thing that has hopefully trample that you want to like pump everything onto. Like, I wonder if, like, the mercenaries have this text, but, like, maybe it doesn't super matter.
They're just 1/1s, maybe.
They're just 1/1s. Or it could be all they do, but it kind of, usually red-white go-wide is just that. And, like, this is kind of the card you put in the red-white go-wide deck.
Right.
But
well, let's see if the other signpost gives us any clues as to what to do with those mercenaries. It's Eartha Jo, Frontier Mentor. 2 red-white for a 2/4. When it enters the battlefield, you make a 1/1 mercenary, and whenever you activate an ability that targets a creature or player, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy.
So, nominally, this makes all your mercenaries give +2/+0?
It does.
So this is kind of saying, go big?
Yep.
But, like, it's not just limited to mercenaries. If you have any abilities that would target one of your creatures, it will target it twice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there are any, like, abilities that... I don't know if there are any non-mercenary abilities that, like, target creatures in this set. I don't think I've seen any, but I was not looking super hard.
Iron Fist Pulverizer. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, it deals 2 damage to target opponent. But that's a triggered ability. That's triggered. It has to be activated.
And it has to target a creature. So like Deadeye Duelist, 1 tap, 1 damage to each. To target opponent. So that would trigger twice.
That
would deal 2. So, I'm not... Yeah,
there it's weird.
There aren't a ton. It's a weird card. Like, it definitely feels like it's use your mercenaries as pump spells.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, tap, give creature +2/+0 is kind of a big deal.
It is.
I mean, even if you just use it with on your other 1/1s, like making a bunch of 3/1s.
Yeah.
Like, those are creatures you kind of have to deal with.
Yeah, you can only let so many of them through.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. So, like, this could make it so, like, it might be a situation where if you have the Trumpet Blast, like, you have 2 of the Trumpet Blasts, you're, like, the go-wide deck.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, this and a bunch of ways to make mercenaries, maybe you turn into the, like, I'm going to make, like, 1 big threat out of my mercenary.
Yeah.
And then you have to block my 5/1. And, like, I win that exchange. And then the next turn I do it again. And then I win that exchange.
You've got a Sterling Keykeeper is the tapper for this set.
Okay.
2 tap target non-mount creature. So that would trigger twice.
And you can choose a new copy?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that would be a heck of a combo, like 2 mana tap 2 things.
Yeah. But I mean, literally that's 2 cards out of the card file.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That aren't the mercenary tokens.
There aren't the mercenaries, yeah.
So yeah, it's weird. Like
that's it.
Yeah. So it's not like this kind of the joke here is it becomes a 4/4. Right, it's kind of because it brings its own mercenary, it kind of gets to be a 4/4.
It pumps it up. Yeah.
But like, I don't know, that's not great.
No.
Making 2 bodies is good, but then that just screams go wide. So, like, if we're a Trumpet Blast format, if we're, like, if you get 2 Trumpet Blasts and you're just like, I want 6 things on the board. I don't care what they are. So, yeah, it's not clear that they're telling you to use them as pump spells or to use them as just, like, fodder to go around things.
Yeah.
All right, and we're to the last one. It is blue-green. Yeah. And, of course, it's big mana, and then I guess we'll plot.
Sure, why not? We don't know what to do with blue-green.
No. So, first up is Make Your Own Luck. It's 2 blue-green for a sorcery. Look at the top 3 cards for your library. You may exile a non-land card from among them. If you do, it becomes plotted. Put the rest into your hand.
Okay.
3 cards is not many cards.
It is not.
But, Eldrazis have cash triggers.
They do.
This lets you cast Eldrazis for free.
It does.
And get their cash triggers.
Uh-huh. It's 5 mana, though.
It's 5 mana. I mean, and, like, your Eldrazi doesn't need to come down until turn 6.
Right.
Unless you ramp somehow. I mean, this is kind of, oh gosh, Marvel.
A little bit.
Right? It's got a little bit of that, but like 3 cards you can whiff hard.
Oh, just yeah.
Be like, well, I didn't hit my Ulamog or my Emrakul or my Kozilek. I guess I'm dead.
Well, I mean, realistically, you could hit nothing. Like, how many times have you had a game where you needed, like, a card and you went land for 3 turns.
Yeah. Or how many companies have you cast that you hit 1 thing?
Right.
And like if the 3 blanks were on top, you just got nothing. So like this is like kind of Tybalt's Trickery.
Kind
of. Where like if you high roll, right, like you could like play a deck where you're just trying to like race to make your own luck.
Mm-hmm.
And if you high roll, you just win the game.
Yep.
But then the other 80% of the games, you just concede because you spent 5 mana and did nothing. And like really, like you're spending 5 mana to do nothing that turn. Right, mm-hmm. You're putting away a thing on layaway.
Right, taking the turn off for a later turn.
Yeah, and if you're dead by the time you go back to the store to get your layaway, then it didn't do you any good.
Yep.
So like, this card has a lot of risk associated with it. And like, you have to hit a, card that's worth more than 5 mana. Right, like you spend 5 mana and you hit a 3-drop. True, and you're
probably not going to do that in limited.
Yeah, and like you hit a 3-drop, like, what are you going to do?
6 or 7 drops can you realistically put in your limited deck?
Not that many. You couldn't put that many in before, and now that like we're just like doing a lot of drag racing, you really can't.
Yeah. I mean, the flip side of that, though, is I guess this is the last color pair for the set, so we've talked about all of them, and I don't necessarily see anything that jumps out at me as uber aggressive.
Yeah, no, true. Like, it looks like it could be slow, but like, okay, like, you pay 5 mana to get hopefully the best spell out of your top 3, and hope it's not like lands or like a 2-drop.
Right.
That like you don't get to put on the battlefield. So I'm guessing this isn't a card you should play.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And then what's...
So let's see if the other one's any better. We have Doc Orlok, Grizzled Genius. Blue green for a 2/3, so that's above rate. It's a bear druid. Spells you cast from your graveyard or from exile cost 2 less to cast, and plotting cards from your hand cost 2 less.
So, like, the plotting thing, fine. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
There's one card that gives a spell flashback?
Yep.
What are we casting from our graveyard in this set? And, like, what are we, like...
Nothing.
All the plot cards that you cast from exile... You've already paid the mana up front, so like.
Well, right, but they're letting you pay 2 less to do that. Yeah, though.
But like, I mean, the like, or from exile part of like cost 2 less. Like, when does that come up in the context of the set?
Well, I mean, it might not be within this set, but
yeah,
there's certainly times where you cast things from exile.
Yeah, it feels like the top like 2 lines of text are like constructed plant for like 2 sets from now.
Could be.
And then the bottom line is like what matters for limited. And like if you play this on 2 and you get to like, you know, plot a 5-drop on turn 3 and play it on 4, you're like ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's good. We take those. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, it is a 2/3. It does block. It feels like there's a lot of things that are like great, like, you know, greater toughness than power.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's a lot of stuff that like you might get a lot of bouncing.
Mm-hmm. There was, well, I was noticing earlier, there's quite a few things that are 3/2s also, though.
Mm-hmm. They're going to trade.
Yeah. Like the white-black guy was a 3/2. The red-black guy was a 3/2.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it could be that there's a reasonable amount of bouncing. Yep. It'd be interesting to kind of, like, go through, like, a bunch of, like, the recent sets and, like, kind of look at, like, how powers and toughness are distributed to see if that is, like, predictive of
how the set
plays out. Like, you know, hey, there are a bunch of, like, you know, a bunch of 2/1s. Like, they're bad at blocking, so they have to attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this set has a ton of 1/4s, or, like, 2/3s, so we're going to block more.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, this card just feels weird.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
Both blue, like, I feel like we were a little hard on white-red. Like, it could just default to, like, make a bunch of tokens, right? But, like... This, like, it doesn't really feel like it's, like, super cohesive.
Yeah.
But well, I agree. Like, Is that a bear drinking a beer? Like, come on. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I guess I'm not sure what it is. I thought it was holding a camera. It's definitely
I thought it might be a camera as well, but I didn't. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So, anyway.
Could be a beer. That's an awkward way to hold a beer, though.
Yeah. I mean, I've not really held one before, so I'm not sure. All right, I've zoomed in really far.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
It's some sort of jar.
It's a jar, okay.
With, like, a glowy specimen. Thing in it. Yeah, some sort of specimen.
All right, so I got three more cards to talk about, and then that kind of leads into one more type.
Okay.
So the three cards I have to talk about are Creosote Heath, and this is just a placeholder for the common comes into play tap dual lands. We have a complete cycle of them, all 10.
Mm-hmm.
They all enter the battlefield tapped. They all deal one damage to an opponent when they enter the battlefield, and they do target, so they trigger crime.
Yes.
And they're all deserts.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Conduit Pylons. Another desert. When it ETBs, you surveil one, and you taps for a colorless, and then you can filter mana of any color. And we have Mirage Mesa, another desert. When it enters the battlefield, you pick a color, and then it taps for a mana of that color. So it seems like we have an awful lot of fixing here.
An awful lot of fixing, and it comes into play tapped, which... Yep. Usually slows down formats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And yeah, we've got 12 mana fixers at common.
Yep.
11 of them being good, and then the conduit being less so, but still like in a pinch.
So two things. The first is, I didn't spend a whole lot of time digesting the card file because it's not time for a set review episode yet. But just at first glance, it does seem like there's a lot of cards that will tutor up either a land or a desert.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in green, like you would expect. So I think that mana fixing should be pretty good in this set. So you can kind of maybe pick and choose what types of archetypes you want, and some of these archetypes are going to play well together as well. So there's that. But then, if you noticed, all of these lands are all deserts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some cards that care about deserts. So I think we have a sneaky base green five-color archetype as well, five-color deserts.
Oh, yeah. There's not a ton. So there's the...
And they're mostly in Sultai, but like, I think the benefit of having a five-color archetype like this is you get to take whatever powerful cards, kind of like Snow was.
Yeah.
You just got to take the most powerful cards that came to you. It didn't really matter that they had Snow synergy. It was that you just got to take them all.
Yeah, and then eventually, like, it just worked.
Yeah.
Like, usually that archetype is like... good, perhaps like non-desert stuff, mm-hmm. where like good removal or things of that sort.
Well, I think the desert removal spell is pretty good.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is like usually like you get into the five color archetype because you have good cards in other color or like good cards, and then you like. You get a good black card, then, like, a good blue-green card. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to, like, be Sultai or whatever. Not, like, specifically that you're looking for a desert. So there's the plant spider that costs one less if you have a desert at common. Mm-hmm. There is a spree cultivate for deserts. Deserts do.
Explosive veg.
Oh, there's an explosive vegetables?
Yeah. Map the frontier, search your library for two basic lands or deserts, put them onto the battlefield and shuffle.
Okay.
For three and a green.
And then there is Spinewood's Armadillo.
Yep.
A 6-mana 7/7 that like cycles for a land or a desert and then gains you 3 life.
Yep.
Like, they keep printing this card. We have like 3 versions of this card.
Yeah.
Like some of them are just like showing up in some of the like the crazy like Discover decks where they're just like, oh, like this is just like an extra herd migration.
Yeah.
That sometimes is a 7/7 for 6. A 6-mana 7/7. Amazing.
With reach and ward 3.
Yeah. You're never going to die after you resolve it.
Yep.
Yeah, so like there are a few.
This Greenblade could be good too. Outcaster Greenblade, 2 and a green for a 1/2. It lets you go get a put a desert in your hand, and it gets +1/+1 for each desert you control.
Yeah, like was that District Guide? But for gates.
Like, well, right, but this also gets bigger for your gates.
Mm-hmm. It's somewhere like Gatebreaker, Ram, and District Guide, but it doesn't have Trample.
Right.
I mean, if big is just like reasonable, like this card's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we could get a like kind of put together. There's like mainly green, and there's like 1 blue card and 1 black card.
Yeah, I don't think the blue card is worth being in blue for, but I do think the removal spell's good.
Yeah, no, like 2 mana give something like neg 3, neg 3, or neg 4, neg 4.
Yeah.
Is really good. Like, you could definitely have a situation where you have some of the desert payoffs, like maybe the green blade, and like map the frontier, and then like the common, the... Oh my gosh. Cactarantula?
Yeah, Cactarantula.
Cactarantula, there we go. But then you're like red white, right? You got like a ridiculous like red rare, a really good like white rare, like white red rare, and you're just like, well, I guess I'm like this now. And like a bunch of the mythics are 3 colors.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a bunch of, like, rares and mythics that are 3 colors. So, like, you, like, are base green, and then you open up some of the, like, you open up, like, the Gitrog monster, and you're like, well, I guess I'm, like, green-black. But then you also had, like, you know, Kellen joins up, and you're like, well, I kind of want to play this Bant card, so I'll just, like, put a couple deserts in with the other color.
Mm-hmm.
And be good. So... Yeah, like, it would be nice if there was, like, 1 more, like, black card and 1 more blue card that were, like, worthwhile.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, encourage you. Or, like, or there was, like, cards in another color. Like, if there was, like, a red card where you could be like, oh, like, I've got this, like, you know, Gates Ablaze or, like, that stupid Cave-In card that was no good in Ixalan.
Well, I mean, I think the Desert... Matters cards mainly being in green makes the deck easier to draft because you just take good stuff and pair whatever color with green.
Like
yeah.
Or you just take all the good things and then your base green with whatever nonsense like cards you got. Yeah, I guess you could.
Right.
It could be that way. And the cultivate is good because the cultivate would like let you get like you know if you had like a random black red land. Because you had like a red card and a black card, you could go get it with the cultivate. Same with the green blade, like it would all you get that like 1 splash,
right?
Land
desert,
yeah. I mean, it would be fun if this worked. I mean, the caves deck in Ixalan did not get there,
right?
It's also funny, right? We got gates.
Mm-hmm.
And we really didn't have another like land type matter other than like snow,
right?
And then in like in the span of 3 sets, we have 2
land type matter archetypes.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they had to do deserts, right? And then I wonder if there were like some designs from like caves that maybe got cut.
Maybe.
Or like, you know, they were developed like, because you can see Colossal Rattleworm could like literally be like a cave card.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Colossal Cave Worm?
Yeah, exactly. It does like the same thing. So like I wonder.
Colossal Worm?
Yeah. So I wonder if there's just like a, like some kind of leftover there. But it's weird that like nothing and then like caves, nothing, and then immediately deserts.
Yeah.
So, all in all, the set looks interesting. I am a little gun-shy just because everything's been aggressive as of late.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
We'll have to wait and see.
If the Desert Lands Matter cards get there, like, that probably means the format is slower. And, like, you can actually, like, play some games. So that would be good. So, with all that, I think we got a show.
I think we have a show.
So if you want to reach out to us on social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, any of that stuff. X, thank you. Email, all those links are in the description below. We're getting ready to do the kind of the single card evaluations for the set review. So if you have cards you want us to talk about, send them our way.
Yeah, hit us up, post them up in Discord, email them to me, whatever you got to do.
We would like to
know what you think. If you're looking to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do it. First is with our TCG player affiliate link, casualtryhard.com/TCG. Surf on over there using that link, and anything you purchase will go to help the show. We would appreciate that, and it doesn't cost you guys anything extra. If you want to support us more directly, patreon.com/casualtryhardTG is where you can do that. You can sign up, chip a couple bucks in, you get access to our pre-show, you get access to our show notes, and you get the satisfaction of knowing. Support the show you love. Yeah. I would appreciate that as well.
Yeah. So with that, we'll catch you on the internets.
We'll catch you on the internets.